refreshed on grammar recently, a synonym, is a different word that means the same thing as this word. So first of all, why me to talk about this, right? You don't want a person in the middle of bankruptcy to talk to you about financial health, is that correct? You don't want a sedentary individual to explain to you the benefits of exercise. You don't want someone who has no friends to describe to you relational health. So, is a sinner the right person to talk to us about sin? But of course, there's no one else available, is there? I mean, it wouldn't have to be me. Another sinner could come, but anyone we know is a sinner, right? And so, we'll get our instructions from the Scriptures, especially from the Gospels, the story of the sinless one who came and lived among us, the Son of God. A couple weeks ago in our annual meeting, I shared part of the pastoral report that I wrote for the year 2020, and I mentioned this prayer that I'm praying. For us as a church to see a profound and unusual, something we have not experienced, moving of God in our midst. Maybe we don't express that clearly, but I believe every one of us who follow the Lord deeply desire that. So it's just impossible not to talk about this subject, isn't it? The Holy Spirit of God, this is what it says in the Gospel of John, that the Spirit convicts us. A lot of ministries of the Holy Spirit described in the Gospels in the New Testament, but this especially, the Holy Spirit is a convictor. He convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He tells us when we are sinning. He convicts us to push us towards a righteous life. He reminds us that if we do not respond to conviction, that judgment is coming. So folks, this is just a simple idea in my mind. If the Holy Spirit is convicting us of sin, and we do not confess that sin, and even more than that, if we do not respond in repentance, confession means to say, yes, God, you're right. That was wrong. I confess that sin. I ask forgiveness. But repentance is a very different thing. It means I'm going to make a change in my life and walk away from that. I'm not going to live like that any longer. If God convicts us and we don't change and repent, then how do we really expect to pray this prayer? God, be present in our midst, move among us, do something supernatural and new. So just try to switch places and imagine yourself in heaven, God hearing that prayer, as people unwilling to change and leave their life of sin are asking for some kind of profound blessing. I'm just going to share a few ideas that seem central to me. As people who are sanctified by Christ, by His death, when we believe in His death on the cross on our behalf, we're celebrating that at the table this morning. These are central ideas. Call sin by this name, sin. It's not that popular a word in our world today, is it? What are synonyms? Just say one out loud. What are other words that we call sin by? I made a mistake. Disobedience. Error, did you say? It was just an error. Lies, okay. Sickness, sometimes we say it's we blame it on the physical realm or an emotional sickness. Transgression, some of these words, transgression, lies, disobedience, occur in the Bible. They're not unbiblical. But they seem to hurt a little less, don't they? Oh, my bad. Doesn't that sound way less hurtful to me than asking you to forgive me. That was a sin on my part. It's pretty short. Notice that sin is a briefer word than those words that we just mentioned. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 29 to 30, Jesus spoke in this way about dealing radically with sin. It's what we call in the scripture hyperbole, an intentional exaggeration that maybe isn't intended exactly like that, but to express the weight to us. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter eternity with one eye than to be condemned to hell. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, Jesus was concerned not only with spiritual health, but with our physical well-being. And obviously, it seems to us, we hope this is obvious, he wasn't asking us to dismember ourselves to avoid sinning, but saying, take this seriously. Be radical in your attempt to live in holiness. Galatians 5:24, Paul said to the church in Galatia, crucify your sinful nature. We have not seen one of these unless in the movies, a crucifixion, but we know what an agonizing and horrible death it is. Joshua 7 tells the story of one of the early military battles of the nation of Israel after they had left Egypt, wandered 40 years in the promised land, and come in to Canaan finally. And God had promised them victory in every place he sent them to battle and expel peoples from the land that was given to Israel. But on this day there was a defeat. And Joshua prostrated himself in prayer and cried out to God and said, God, what happened here? Did I misunderstand? Why were we defeated? And God spoke these words that Joshua wrote down. Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? There's sin in the camp. Now, it's pretty clear in the Bible, Old Testament knew that this doesn't always happen. Just because someone sins doesn't mean the whole people of God, a church, or the church at large is suddenly defeated and people die in battle. But here's a clear idea. The best way to be in a blessable position for the God who wants to bless his people, to have the freedom to do that, is to be intolerant with sin in our lives. This was the sin of one man, not the whole nation, one man, Achan, who kept some things that God had said should be thrown into the fire. Maybe you know this verse from Numbers 32. Be certain that your sin will find you out. God put into us a thing called conscience. Conscience just means, if you know Latin or one of the Latin languages, it means to know. Science, the end of that word, conscience, which means knowledge, and C-O-N means with. To act with knowledge. Your conscience is saying, in your soul, you're aware that something is wrong, and God put that there. So if you're asking this question, my conscience seems bothered by something, does that definitely mean I sinned and I did something wrong? So it seems like there's three sources that could come from. It could come from God, it could come from Satan, the enemy of your soul, it could come from you. Wow, two of those are so easy to discard, it just seems almost embarrassing, doesn't it? The prophet says that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So if your conscience is saying, you need to repent of that, it's not you. Is it going to be Satan, really? The one who wants to destroy your life with sin, who tempts you to sin, is he going to make you feel bad about that? So, folks, when your heart is saying you're being accused of sin, that's God just respond to that. Unconfessed sin, repeated sin, becomes like a callus. Have you ever had a callus? We wear shoes and socks and gloves a lot, and maybe you don't get calluses. Remember, this is when I was in junior high school, some of you know my family lived overseas in Vietnam for a while, land of pretty intense heat. And we would go barefoot and walk on a hot sidewalk or the asphalt of the parking lot. Eventually get a very thick callus on the bottom of my feet. And I remember this as a 13-year-old taking a straight pin and trying to poke and being unable to poke through the bottom of my foot. And unable to feel the insistent poking. That seemed kind of a novelty to me as a kid. But in your soul, that's not a novelty. It's not a protection. When you sin enough in a certain way, eventually you just don't feel that conviction anymore. So respond when you feel pricked in your conscience. If we confess our sin, this is the promise of 1 John 1:9. He, God, hears that prayer, and He's faithful, He's just, He will forgive us and cleanse us. Remember the story of John chapter 8 of a woman who was brought to the master, and her accuser said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law says, well, she should be stoned. What is it that you say? And Jesus offered forgiveness, but said to her, you should stop that. Go and leave your life of sin. The grace of God never encourages that we continue sinning. That's why Paul answered, after talking about this in Romans 5, says, well, the sinfulness of man opened the door for the grace of God. So should we just keep sinning so there can be more grace? And he almost screams in this text, no, it should never be that way. Spring cleaning. It might be easier to think about this if it was a typical February day, 20 below and windy here, but it's sunny and pleasant today. But you know that as the thaw comes, we think about cleaning out the garage and the basement and having a garage sale. And not even everything is sale worthy. We sometimes get a dumpster and toss a lot, don't we? Think of that in your spiritual walk. Aren't there things that I, instead of trying to put through the washer and get the mold off and offer them to someone else, shouldn't I just think of tossing out things that are just spiritual garbage in my life? Fight. It's a battle to get rid of sin in your life. This is what Paul says in chapter 7. He doesn't say the specific sin he was dealing with, but he says, here's in just this concept of, okay, I've recognized this, I confessed it, I'm just going to walk away from that. Well, wouldn't we love if that could happen easily? But Paul said, here's my testimony to you. The things I identify and say, I'm going to do these. What I observe is, that doesn't work out so well. And what I say, I'm not going to do these things, I observe that I continue doing them. So we might say, then who's he to be telling us about freedom from sin? Because he's free by the grace of Christ and the law of the Spirit of life. And he says, if you just say to me, you know, Pastor Tim, honestly, when I think about sin in my life, I just feel horrible. It's just a battle and I don't ever win it. How do you respond to that, Pastor? Amen. That's how I respond to that. If you say, I've just given up and I laid down and surrendered, no, I'll scream no in your ear. But if you say, I'm battling and I'm losing sometimes, that's the biblical posture. Do not give up about that. So we think of sin mostly in a personal way. We're a very individualized society. Well, sin, I sin, that's my struggle. That's embarrassing. I want to talk to people about that. But the biblical image of Christianity is a collective one. It's the church. What do we do about sin in the body of Christ? Words from Solomon in Proverbs, from Paul, words from Jesus. Paul said, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. Isn't it amazing how quickly sinners treat other sinners in a non-gentle way? We get harsh with people. We act like they should know better than that. Caught. He said, if you are caught in sin, when it's obviously true. Sometimes our harshness involves sin that we imagine in other people and we're not even sure about. It just seems to us like they're probably sinning. And the Bible doesn't tell us to talk to those people at all. Matthew 18, Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and show them their fault. Doesn't say talk to other people about that. Doesn't say accuse or belittle them. But show them, demonstrate sin. Interestingly, in the Proverbs, both in chapter 17 and verse 19, it says, he who covers over an offense promotes love. Remember that offense is not always in the category of sinfulness. We're thin-skinned people, and we get offended by a lot of things. And as Hans said a little earlier, in our culture, for a long time, the rule of civility was, just keep your mouth shut and keep your offense to yourself. But now, thanks to social media and a bunch of other stuff, we feel the right to scream whatever we think about that we're offended about. A biblical value is covering over offense. That is to say, don't become a sin sheriff. Here's the goal of Christianity. Live your own life in a holy way. The Spirit can convict other people of sin, usually without your help. So those are different ideas, Pastor Tim. So what is biblical? Cover over? Confront? Restore? All of those are biblical ideas, aren't they? So maybe before you act, if it's involving other people, you need to be sure and pray. And remember that Jesus said, we're not very objective people. So he said, when you're tempted to get out your tweezers and remove this teeny little speck of dust that's bothering you in your brother's eye, maybe you should take out the log out of your own. So that you don't hear someone that thinks you're trying to help them say, really? You're the person who should be mentioning that to me? We just can't come to this table and not honestly be people who talk about sin. Can we do that? It wasn't just the love of God that sent him to the cross. If he had created a world full of people who were living in perfection, and in his grand design, he would not have sent his son to die. The cross is an answer to a problem that we cannot answer. And that problem has this name, sin. So call it sin. Keep a tender conscience and respond to God when that conscience accuses you. Go to battle against sin in your life. And since you're a sinner, be gentle and loving when you feel you're called to talk to other sinners about their sin problem. Amen. Loving God, you are holy. We see scriptural incidents of people in the presence of God listening to His voice, presence of angels, just always fear and trembling, people falling down, prostrating themselves, thinking, I'm going to die. I'm in the presence of holiness. What a contrast to our lives. Sure, we know we're living in grace. We're after the cross. We know our sins have been offered forgiveness in your death, Lord Jesus. But forgive us when we have been too lighthearted about sin, saying, well, it's all under the blood. And this is what we believe about this moment, the table of the Lord. You commanded this to us because we need to be reminded of the horrible cost of our sinfulness, the death of the perfect Lamb of God. So as we hold in our hands the bread and the cup today, bring us a reminder that we need to do battle, that we need to call our nature by its name. And we need to rejoice that the blood of Calvary redeems, brings not only eternal life, but gives us a right to victorious and abundant life here and in your presence. We thank you. In Jesus' strong name.